Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
Well, today we're going to be talking about what happens when there's distractions in life. We live in a technological age that we have something attached to us probably most of the time, if you're of age, right, a cell phone, that gives you the ability to connect to almost anybody in the world. However, I think one of the biggest downfalls to them is that they make us actually less connected, if that makes sense. I can talk to anyone, I can text anyone, I can pull up something on the internet, but for some reason, that leading into social media has created this incredible distraction that's in our life. And I'm not putting down phones. I think phones, like many other things in this world, are really neither good nor evil. It's how you use them. But it is certainly something that can be a distraction. And we can agree that in this time, as we've talked about Israel and distractions, they've sure found a few, haven't they? But before I jump in here and continue on with this, I wanted to offer a time of testimony. Each month we try to do this. We do this almost every month, typically the fourth Sunday of the month, and this happens to be the fourth Sunday of the month. So I'm going to grab this microphone and really give something for John to do back there, right? Because I'm switching microphones on him, but he's used to it. He's worked with me for long enough. I'm going to switch this on in just a second, but I want you to stop being distracted by something. I just believe that we've walked into here, and maybe even it's the words didn't come up the way we expected. There's things that have been a distraction. You know, the devil doesn't like when God's being glorified in any way, and he's going to use anything he can to try to cause us to have distraction, and we have distraction in this life. But I believe many people probably are here that need to share a testimony. And a testimony is really just remembering something that God has done for you, how God has worked in your life. You're not testifying about yourself. You're not testifying about what even the situation perhaps, but it's really what God has done. So I'm going to switch over delicately.
Give you guys a chance, if there's anybody that would like to share a testimony, something that God's done in your life, something small, something big, doesn't matter. What God has done in your life. And I don't want to look in one corner or any corner too long, so I'm going to kind of bebop back and forth. But is there anybody that would like to share something in their life that God has done? Maybe if I get closer, that'll encourage you or make you not raise your hand. But anybody got anything they want to share? All right. I didn't look that way on purpose because I've been accused of looking left too much.
So there is this lady that I follow on social media, and she has been struggling with trying to get pregnant for a long time, and she has two babies that are in heaven, and she has a really cool testimony, and the doctors gave her a literal 0.005% chance. And the other day I opened Instagram and she announced that she was pregnant, and she has really strong faith, and her faith has really been an inspiration to me, that she has trusted that the Lord would bring it, the desire of her heart, for so long. It's so cool to see how prayer really works, even if it doesn't, you know, come right away. I mean, people have been praying for her for years. And so just keep praying, and I'm just really happy also for her.
Thank you. Yeah, the power of prayer. Amen. Thank you for that reminder, Grace. Anybody else want to share? Don't feel it. Oh, okay. See, I wasn't looking that way. I was not glancing too long.
The ladies' Bible study is going to begin tomorrow, and our focus is going to be on gratitude, being grateful. One of the things that in pre-studying that has really been an interesting thing about gratefulness. I think my mind always goes to, we're grateful when we recognize the good things that God has done in our lives. Those are times that we are often naturally grateful But this study dives deeper. What happens when we don't see God's hand in it? What happens when the hard things happen in our lives? And the study, the question I think it asks, the scripture that we're going to be studying, helps us to realize that it doesn't matter what the situations are. It doesn't matter what God allows in our life. God, the verses that I'm studying right now talk about the fact that God brings the good things. He's the one that does the good things. It's our enemy that brings the bad things into our lives. But God allows. He can't do anything in our lives that God does not allow. And if God allows it, just like as a parent, you allow your children to go through hard things, why? We don't need the answer to the why. We need to be grateful. That's a different way of living my life. Because when I see that God is saying, look, I'm going to allow you to go through this really, really hard thing, gratefulness is what demonstrates trust. Gratefulness demonstrates the peace of God in your life while all of the storm is going. Gratefulness is what demonstrates to the world that you're secure in something greater than you are. That's a heart of gratefulness. And I think it's flipping, for me, it's flipping everything that I understand about gratitude and gratefulness. I'm really grateful when God does good things. Just am. But when he allows those hard things in my life, and when he allows hard things in your life, how does your heart respond? So ladies, if you aren't if you aren't hooked up and you want to get involved, see me. A lot of you have already signed up online. But just, you don't have to be there every week and all that. But for sure, God is going to do great things in your life as a result of studying God's word.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, here we go.
Well, since she talked about the women's study, I'm going to have to talk about the guys now. Ours is going to, first book we're going to be doing is, I mean, they had them clear back 1981 when it got saved. So it's the same. It's by Navigators. And the first book will be on the assurance of salvation. So I would encourage you to come. It'll be a fun study. I'll call on Dan a lot with his knowledge, but it should be good. I can't remember the address, but this is a testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has his Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That was one of the first verses that we memorized when we were being discipled. So guys, please come. It should be a good time, and we're going to try to do maybe a fellowship night once a month or something. And Sue said no to cooking for us, so we're going to have to figure something out. I don't know. I thought Elena was going to step up, but she didn't. Oh, Ed, that's right. That's right, Ed. Ed, Smokey Ed. You know, he's out. He's hall duty. The other thing, Sue was talking about gratitude, and sometimes when you go through a bad thing and you can look back, you can be gracious and happy that God didn't put you through what you really wanted, but he took you through what he needed you to do. But also, I'm going through I'm almost afraid to say it, but a good time. I'm so thankful, and I'm content. And that hasn't happened in my life very frequently, always pushing hard and but it's nice to have it. My pain level is best it's been in maybe a decade. I know this too shall pass, but I'm really thankful for this time right now, and grateful that I can walk almost without my cane and all those things. So it's a blessing. So that's it.
Thank you for sure. Thank you. Okay. Sorry, Spence.
You're patient. I appreciate you. the youth group and I this week, we've been really hammering out some hard stuff. They recently received Bibles, new Bibles, and I'm really thankful for a good budget from you guys for our youth group. I really appreciate that. I just want to say thank you because you were a part of that for them. You gave them a tool that they can use forever. And it's something like I look at Kurt Tinlin, who pulls out his Bible from a lady down the road that led him to the Lord. And so I just wanted to say thank you first for that. But we in youth group have been studying some tough stuff. And what is our journey with Christ really, what is it going to look like? What are we trailing? How are we going to hike this journey? Is our mountains going to be high, low? Is it going to be steep? Are we going to be like hiking and winded like this? Like, is it going to be one of those moments where I don't think I can get up to the top? Spencer knows what I'm talking about. Moments like that are hard for us. But we were in Colossians this morning, and it kind of like stood out to me because just like Grace, we all follow people who give good testimonies. And this kid came on social media and he said, you know, there are four letters in hate, just like there's four letters in love. The same amount of letters are in negativity, just as much as positivity. And so when I was reading in my Bible and sharing it with them, Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have grievances against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. See, I'm not perfect, but God's love is, and it lasts forever. In order to serve, you have to have that. So how should I serve? And we learned this morning that we serve with gentleness, kindness, compassion, being humble, but we also serve with forgiveness because God forgave us. And it's a reminder to me because I'm getting some students that are flowing into my classroom that live in an environment that is full of trauma. Some of these kids, they relive it every day they come into your classroom. And I have a couple kids that I'm about to get this upcoming week that I texted Sue and I said, here's my list. And earlier this year, I was able to go out and peruse. And I already wrote these kids' names down on a piece of paper going, yeah, they're going to definitely be with somebody. God said, that somebody's you, homie. And I was like, yeah, I knew it was coming. And then when these two kids disappeared for a while, I'm like, those are the two kids I think I'm going to get. And everybody's avoiding me right now. But God's reminding me through the scripture that I need to be humble and I need to know how to serve. But I don't serve with hate. I got to serve with love. So here at Grace Community Church, we're working as a youth group on how to serve people with love and to know what it means to be humble in that kind of gesture. So some of us are going to be reaching out later on how we can serve you in our community here at Grace Community. If some of you are needing some work done in their yard, we're going to be reaching out because we're going to put our hands to work because God calls us to be his hands and feet. So thank you again for the Bibles and keep praying for us.
Thank you. All right.
So as many of you know, Grandpa Hank is not here. He's in the Cleveland Clinic right now. And yesterday I had the opportunity to go up and see him with my immediate family and my brother. And they put a screen in to catch the blood clots, just to break them up and make sure that they don't cause any more damage. And I was talking to him, and he's got a lot of stories from when he was a kid. And I was like, you know, or my grandma said, you know, one thing, you never lost a fight. And he looked at her and said, yeah, but even if I do lose this one, I still win. And that just kind of took my breath away. And I was like, man, in a time like this, he still knows that he wins either way. Whether he beats this thing or not, he's still going to the Lord and he's still going to see him. And that just rocked me. And I was like, man, to see him like this, because he was just out of the procedure when I went in, and that was the first thing that he said. I was like, man, he just woke up, and that's the first thing that he says. That was the first thing on his mind, and that's all that's on his mind all day, every day. So.
Thank you for sharing that. Yes. A hand up? Am I not seeing one? Oh boy. He was pointing back there. I'm sorry.
Blended together the dresses.
Okay, so this actually happened a while ago, but I've been meaning to share this. This one Wednesday night, the week of Alive, Grace, Esther, and I, we did a Bible study. And Esther mentioned a verse. I think it was, every good and perfect gift comes from above. And then the next morning, Thursday morning, we read the first chapter of James, and that verse was in that chapter. And then we, you know, kept reading, and it reminded me of a verse that says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And then we read the chapter of Proverbs, I think it was the, like, 15th or 16th chapter. I forget what chapter it was, because it was the, since there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, we read the chapter that the date was, and the verse that I mentioned was in that chapter as well. And it really blew our minds, because people will say that things are coincidences, but we were like, no, that was God. And it was a really powerful thing. And throughout the weekend of Alive, a lot of the pastors were mentioning stuff that we read as well, which was also really cool. And it just really blew my mind, because it's like, it was really cool for me to really feel the presence of God that weekend, because it's like, God, if God is for us, then who could be against us? He's, no matter the what it is, how little or big, he's always there for you.
Thank you. All right. Last call. Saw someone shift. I was ready. All right, let me transfer back over to my mic.
Powerful, powerful reminders. You know, the longer I live, the more I'm convinced. I'm right there with you, Elena. There is no coincidence. We may not know the connection, but our God is so big that there is a connection, and he's at work. And you know, that's really it. We're in this midst of the story. We're trying to see what God's doing in the midst of, some would look and say, chaos, right? We talked about how the kingdom divided, and so they're going different ways, and there's all this pressure from the outside, from the inside, and you know, what's going on here? And I just love the phrase I keep coming back to in my mind, and is that our circumstances do not dictate who God is. And we need to say that, because, you know, to hear this story from Spencer about Hank, and there's no doubt Hank has lots of stories, and they're all good, and they all have a purpose, and they're all connecting you, but in the midst, his gut reaction is, no matter what happens, I win. And that's something we can take from this. Our circumstances don't dictate who God is. God is who he is. Well, I want to continue in our story. We're going to talk today a little bit about God's messengers. And before I get into the passage for the day, I really just felt that we needed to take a minute, because if you're reading through God's Word, as you're reading through God's Word, if you make it past Leviticus, or sometimes the next place people start going, oh my gosh, what's really happening here? First and Second Samuel, First and Second Kings, First and Second Chronicles, and all those things. Yeah, they lead to Ezra, Nehemiah, all these things that are happening, and we're like, how is the Bible organized? And so I thought it was really important to just stop for a minute. I put a handout in your bulletin. Hopefully you got one. There should be some bulletins left if you didn't get one. If you want a copy of this, it's two-sided. Go ahead and put the first image up there. And this is a little hard to see, but hopefully you can see on your printout. This one was a help to me many years ago when I was trying to understand chronology of the Bible and just who goes where, what goes with what, and that type of thing. And so this handout does a really awesome job of helping us understand a couple of things. Number one, the chronology, the order sort of which things happen and how they tie together. Like big picture people like Saul, David, Solomon, and then the split of the kingdom there in the middle. And when was Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, you know, who's that tied to? And, you know, all these prophets, we hear about all these prophets. Who do they go with? Who are they prophesying to? So we look at, you know, a couple of the southern kingdom prophets, you know, Joel, Micah, Isaiah, Zephaniah, and all these other ones, and Jeremiah, and northern prophets, Amos and Hosea. And so even understanding like where they were being a prophet to is critical, right? We talked about the split of the kingdoms, southern kingdom, northern kingdom, and knowing where they go there. And then this period of exile, which we haven't got to yet, we're going to, but you know, there's prophets that prophesied at that moment. So it's important to wrap our mind around when these things happen. And then, of course, the post-exile, when Israel, the people would come back and try to rebuild things with Ezra and Nehemiah, and of course Esther's mixed in there as well. And these prophets that kind of go with that, and you know, and you know, we see Malachi, who's like the last book of the Old Testament, right? And understanding where things fall into there. And so that was helpful. So this is kind of one aspect of the tool. On the other side is a little bit more detailed. It's got color code and stuff like that. And we're going to talk a little bit about this today before we jump in. You go to the next slide. In this one, it talks not only about timeline, but also what type of book. Another literature, literal genre, you know, how is this book written? And understanding that when we read like the law, the first five books, and then any of these green books that are like history books, that's a different perspective, right? Literal account of history happening. And then when we talk about the blue books, if you're on that side, the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, those are like wisdom literature. And Job as well is usually grouped into that. An understanding that even though Job appears later in book order, is actually one of the earliest books, if not the earliest books ever written. And so those kind of things are important, knowing where the prophets lie and things like that. And then for some extra goodness, in the middle, the bottom there, kind of gives us a little bit of a history of when like different translations of the Bible were written and kind of sort of what order that happened. And it's just, to me, I geek out on that stuff. You're probably like, Pastor, that was too much. You should have stopped with the color coding books. But hopefully this helps you. This is kind of a tool. It's a pretty good one. Two good ones there to help us as we go through things chronologically. So I hope that helps you there. And so I did want to just take one more thing to talk about understanding the different books. You know, the law and history books, those kind of sometimes will get lumped together. But understanding that it's the law, the first five books are really the framework for God. Obviously starting with creation, but then starting this group of people that would be called Israel and put together. And history tells us some of those books of Joshua through Esther, you know, a literal history of what's happening there. Some of our wisdom books as well, those are good to understand. You know, Psalms, understanding that it is wisdom literature, maybe some would call poetry, helps us understand what those people are coming from when they, you know, God's word was given to them. Of course, the prophets, understanding that their main goal was prophesying, taking a message of the Lord directly to the people. And that's why that first chart is important. Not only is the message important, critical, but who is it being given to? That's part of that big picture of context. And so as you see those, hopefully that helps you. And we're going to jump back into our story here, and we're in this period of time that's a little confusing to know who goes where and what happens as the kingdom is divided. And we're going to talk about just three things pretty quickly, three movements of why that kingdom divided and why, you know, just kind of as a review there. And the first one I want to remind us is, as we in looking through here, God clearly wanted his people to be blessed. He wanted them to be the messengers, to take his message to the people. If we jump all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, the first three verses there, if you remember from Abraham, you know, in verse 2 of chapter 12, it says this, it says, God saying, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. This is key. God's big story was bringing salvation, reconciliation to the people. That's evident from even earlier than this in Genesis chapter 3. God, when sin entered the world, he was about bringing blessing. And Israel, the Jewish people, were the vessels that God desired to try to bring this message to the nations. Well, unfortunately, the Israelites had one big thing in common with us, and that is that we're all sinners. And so because of this, the nations rebelled against God. And this happened many times, but one of the most obvious times is in 1 Samuel, and we talked about this, and when Israel demanded a king. They wanted a king. They wanted something earthly to represent the relationship with God. And they asked for a king, and Samuel says, wait, this is not a good idea. But God says, you know, you're right. It's not a good idea, but their hearts have turned. I'm going to give them what they desire. And so this began with Saul. And then just two generations later, there was a split in the kingdom. You know, sometimes I think as I look at this and my heart, one thing that came to this week was sometimes I fear that the church, not this church, but the Big C church, and maybe even I could just narrow it down a little bit more, the church in America has become lost sight of what the main goal is. You know, we allow distraction and division to enter when we shouldn't. Unless you think that those things are not happening around here, I promise you they are. There's churches that are dividing and people that are going different directions. And, you know, I make a point not to know all the details because it's not my responsibility. But what I do is I pray for those churches. And, of course, if I was ever asked, I would help in any way I could. But ultimately, I fear that that same thing has kind of crept into this world in a big, big way. And let us be different than that. Let us remember that, yes, Genesis 12, God was bringing a blessing to all people through, eventually, right through Jesus, and then through us. And let us never be the moment of division. Well, the nation, yes, they were chosen by God. They rebelled against God. And then, of course, this leads to disobedience. And whenever we're living a disobedient life, it conveys the wrong message. Let me give you a for instance. If you ever picked up the paper and saw Dan or I's mugshot in the paper for stealing or for anything, and then I got up here Sunday morning like nothing happened and acted like it wasn't a big deal, don't worry about that, what kind of message would I be conveying? You know, I'm not standing up here telling you I'm perfect. I'm not. But I'm always trying to seek after what the Lord is doing in our life. And it's why one of the phrases that I remember from Dan early on, he said, but by the grace of God go I. In other words, you know, this could happen to any of us. We all have a sin nature. We all have the devil coming after us. And so we always have to come back to the message. Come back to the message. And see, Israel clearly had fallen off that message. And so God tried to straighten that out, right, with the division of the kingdom. And then we'll see that if you keep reading through, that didn't work. The nations were divided and they were seeking after the wrong thing. You know, what I want to pull out of that is just reminding you this. I've talked about occasionally this idea that God's big story is happening, and there's really two levels to that. There's the upper story and what God is all about, and then there's the lower story, which is what you and I are directly involved with. You know, what's happening in your life? And I just love how Elena shared, you know, nothing is a coincidence. And they were each given a different verse that was going to be shown up the next day. Like, God is working even in the small, minute ways in our life. But yes, he also has this big picture that's going on. See, God is all about getting and bringing reconciliation to the world. And now that Jesus has come and done his part and made it possible that we can be that messenger. And so even though we're going to be talking about an Old Testament prophet, I would tend to think that even our lives, as we go through our life day by day, to have your eyes open, have your ears open, because God is going to and will work through you. So Israel was definitely promised. They were chosen to be that people. God was drawing them to Him. They disobeyed. There was a nation in rebellion. And so where does this leave us today in this wrong message? So in this wrong message, God goes, all right, I got this. This is where the prophets come in. And the prophets are chosen by Him to deliver the message in a clear and concise ways. And let me simplify it. One of the biggest messages almost all of them have is what? Repent. Come back to God. Come back to Him. Come back. Come back. Come back. Well, Israel was stubborn. If we're honest, we're stubborn. And it leads into our passage today. And I want to talk just a little bit about a man named Elijah. So in 2 Kings chapter 18, we're going to see this. The wrong message was being given by Israel, so God made the correction. He sends His messengers. And the first one that we'll talk about today is Elijah. Just a little quick side note here. God still cared about the northern kingdom, even though they were the one that kind of broke off and there was no good kings in that kingdom. God still cared about those people. In fact, so much that He would send 9 different prophets. Not all of them have a book, but 9 different prophets to the 19 kings in 200 plus years. And anyone want to guess how many times people responded to the prophets positively? Okay, some are shaking their head. None. Well, it's actually 1, at least from what I can tell. But it wasn't the Israelite people. It would have been Jonah. Anyone heard of Jonah and the whale? Jonah and the big fish? Yeah, Jonah was called to go to Nineveh, which wasn't part of the kingdom. And he tried to run away. He went up there. He delivered the message to repent. And sure enough, despite his better hopes, Jonah didn't really want Nineveh to repent, but he did what the Lord told him to do, and they did. So just kind of a word of wisdom for us. When we speak in the world the words of God, don't expect to find a lot of people agreeing with you that maybe aren't in the Bible, just into their Bible. So let's talk about Elijah. Man, I could talk about him forever. I've preached several times on him. But one such story I want to share with you is in 1 Kings chapter 18. And so Elijah is getting a little bit frustrated. He is realizing that he's, you know, God's told him to go deliver a message. Elijah feels like there's nobody else in the whole kingdom that's, you know, holding true to God. And God says, that's not true. Trust me. So he goes out and he ends up getting involved in a, shall we say, an altercation with the other prophets of the day. And if the verses we read, you could see that in this altercation, he said, listen, Here's the thing. Each bring forth 2 sacrifices, one for Baal's and all the other prophets, and one for the prophet, it's me, of God. And he puts them on an altar. And let me just say this. First of all, they had to rebuild the altar of the Lord, if that gives you an idea of how closely people were following the Lord. And so they put these sacrifices on an altar, and he goes, all right, you guys go first. And he says, all you got to do, call down fire from heaven. You can do that, right? Oh, yeah, yeah. Do this, and it will consume the sacrifice. And whoever is able to do that will be the true prophet. Well, long story short, the other side wasn't able to do it. And this is one of the first examples in here. Elijah was doing a little bit of what I like to call trash talking. Anybody play sports? Mark, I see you. Mark never trash talks. I know he doesn't. He's too kind. But I wasn't that kind of a person. I would always try to trash talk. Yeah, 6'3", 150-pound guy playing forward would try to trash talk. But anyways, he's trying to trash talk them. He's saying, listen, this is, you can't do it. Maybe he's sleeping. Say it a little bit louder. And one translation says, maybe he's going to the bathroom. Maybe he'll be back in a minute. You're God to fix this. And so long story short, they are not able to do it. And Elijah says, finally, all right, let's go. And he has them bring out not one, not 2, but 3 containers of water, drenches the entire thing. So much so, there's so much water that there's a pool of water at the bottom. And so, by the way, that's not a great way to start a fire, kids. Don't start a fire by pouring water on it. But this is what happens is he calls down fire. He says, God, I need you. And he calls down fire. Wouldn't you know it? Fire comes down, consumes the entire altar, including the water, and laps it all up. And so Elijah delivers God's message loud and clear. God delivers. You know, in 1 Kings 18, at the end of the chapter, verse 38, it says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When the people saw this," this is the key, "they fell prostrate and cried, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.'" You know, the prophets we could talk about forever and ever here, and but I just want to share one more thing with you. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, this is what gives us a glimpse into what God is all about and what He's doing. Verse 16 says, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." Now, He's saying this to David. And so your first inclination is what's going on here? Well, here's the long and short of it. One commentary says this, when they were talking about the terms, the house, your kingdom, your throne, we read these similar things in Luke chapter 1 that God fulfilled this. Who did He fulfill this in? The person of Jesus. And this word forever, sometimes we think in a Western mind, and we think forever means that it's like there's always somebody on the throne. And really what the term conveys is that this idea of is an indeterminately long time or into eternity future. It does not mean that there cannot be interruptions, but rather that the outcome is guaranteed. And in that verse, we see that even though Israel boogers up the message, even though Israel boogers up what we would see is the process happening, God's story is still going on. God's story is still continuing. That's why God cared so much to send messengers to try to call him back. Even though he knew what the result was going to be, he knew the northern kingdom was never going to respond, at least as a whole. There's undoubtedly people that were saved in that process. He sent Elijah to do a supernatural thing to recalibrate people's lives. What I want you to walk out of here is this one phrase, is that God is at work. God is at work. God is good. God is faithful. God is true. God is kind. He's all these things all the time, even in the midst of these rough situations we're going to go to. You know, sometimes we need those rough situations to get us recalibrated. Because we get into that situation and maybe things go wrong for a while, and then God reaches in and touches us in a way that only we know, and He brings that same fire down into our lives. And hopefully that drives us back to our knees. Quickly here, as we finish up, I want to give you a couple practical tools because I think this is so important, and it kind of speaks into the classes that we're offering, discovering spiritual growth. We're going to help you understand how to get into God's Word better. So number one, God speaks today. We don't have to wait for the message. We've got the message. God speaks primarily through His Word. This is how He's written all these things down that we need to know. And it's not going to have every answer that we need, but it's going to have every principle we need and how we should live our life. So I don't know if anyone in here listens my podcast, another shameless point plug there, but this week I was really wrestling with this idea of 1 John 4, truth and life. How do we live truth, speak truth, and do it with love? Well, we got to be in God's Word. We got to be studying His Word. You know, Acts chapter 2 tells us we are to be devoted to the studying of God's Word. And obviously mixed in with that is a regular dose of prayer. Getting on our knees, praying, speaking to God, but also, I would argue, just as importantly, listening to what He has for us, because it's sometimes in those still, quiet moments that we hear God's voice. Read His Word, pray as much as you can. Number two, regular and consistent fellowship with the church. It is my belief that Sunday mornings are critical to helping us get through life, critical to helping us worship God collectively. There's nothing that's any more powerful, in my opinion, at least from an earthly perspective, than community worshiping together. Worshiping the same God. Make Sundays, make times with fellowship, make small groups, make sure that those things are a high priority in your life. Listen, I'm as busy as the next guy. I get it. It's super easy to fill our life with good things. But we also need to make sure those priorities are the things that are getting the most attention. You know, one thing I haven't done a good job of lately is spending one-on-one time with my kids, and I apologize for that because I get busy. I just think, oh, God has me doing this. Well, maybe, but who's my most important ministry? My family. And so that's a conviction to me, so I'm going to do my best. You can call me on it to try to be better at that. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Families, spend time together. You know, we need each other. Regular and consistent time together is important. And so as the worship team makes their way to the stage, my question to you is, what is God showing you through his message today? What is he showing you through his message today? We're going to be singing a song, "The Heart of a Father," of the Father. And the heart of the Father is love for us. And he's trying to draw you in. He's trying to bring you back. He's trying to get you reconnected. What things in our lives do we need to maybe put down for a minute and allow God to work in those big areas? So as we get to our feet, be thinking of that as we sing these words.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.